Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona. It's time for Valley Business Radio, spotlighting the Valley's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, and welcome to Valley Business Radio, where we tell the stories that traditional media tends to ignore and help connect you to the right people. I'm your host, Dr. Adrian McIntyre, and I'm joined in the studio today by Jackie Wright, President of Rainmaker Integrated Marketing and PR. Welcome, Jackie.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. You're sitting right at the epicenter of one of the greatest technological shifts in our lifetime, which is changing the way people do business, as well as how we communicate with each other on a personal level. Tell us about Rainmaker Integrated and what you're doing for business folks here in the Valley.
Yeah, so we've been in business actually since 2008. We're a boutique marketing and PR firm. And we specialize in helping small to mid-sized businesses who really want more of a personal approach to their marketing and PR efforts, or maybe they don't have the larger budgets that some of the bigger agencies require in order to outsource their marketing needs. So we love working with SMBs and really working with clients who really want to figure out how to maximize their marketing budget to its fullest potential.
Now, everybody knows that marketing is an essential part. It's the lifeblood of business. It's how you acquire new customers. It's also how you deepen relationships with your existing ones, how you build goodwill in the marketplace and so on. What is your general approach to marketing? How do you think about it that distinguishes you from some of the other folks operating in the same space?
Yeah, great question. Well, I think the biggest differentiator for us is that we really like to be super smart about what we're recommending. You know, a lot of times you've got folks who are maybe more of a fly-by-night, just kind of getting into the marketing space, and because they have a computer and some knowledge of Facebook ads, they're deeming themselves as a marketing agency. And what we like to do is come in and really have a holistic and integrated approach and figure out, okay, what does a client need based on their goals or on their budget? And sometimes that doesn't always align. So I like to tell folks, you know, do you want a proposal based on what you want to spend or what you're trying to achieve? But just really being smart with the recommendations, and then also being their partner in crime, if you will, walking them through that process. Because it's marketing is hard. There's so much going on right now in this space. And the reality is that, you know, businesses can't keep up. Marketing executives can't keep up. And we pride ourselves on being at the forefront of all those changes and making sure that we're really being their partner through that process.
There's a lot that's overwhelming. There's a lot that is new and different. There's a lot of shiny object syndrome.
True.
And people end up chasing their, you know, their dreams in a lot of different directions at the same time. What's required from a chief marketing officer or from a small business owner who's accountable for their business results? How do they need to be thinking differently
Sure.
about marketing as a general area of business operations?
I think first and foremost is that we have to understand that we're in a different space now, right? I mean, the days of, you know, just sending out a press release or sending out an email or putting a brochure together, which are pretty old school tactics, still somewhat relevant, but those days are gone. So two key things I always tell clients is that, one, you have to have a plan in place. That is essential. And that plan has to be based on some type of data, right? So having a good understanding of who your target market is and your key demographic. And where are those people playing? Where are they getting their information from? Where can you find them? You know, the days of just harpooning a target and bludgeoning them to death with your message, they're gone. They're over. So you really have to be super mindful as to who you're trying to target. What is it that's going to resonate with them? What do they want to hear? And really being authentic and smart and having the plan really based in some data that you know that you've done your research so that you're not wasting your marketing dollars.
You know, it's ironic that at the same time as there's never been more fine-grained, detailed analytics available about website traffic, about ad campaigns, about impressions, social interactions, all of the kinds of things that are available now in the channels where marketing is happening. You know, gone are the days of a Nielsen rating, you know,
right,
phoning 500 random numbers from the phone. It's not literally that course, but almost that course to ask what was your favorite show on TV last night, you know. With all this information available, it's created a problem. because contextualizing the information, using it to make decisions is not always obvious. So you're focusing on results, mm-hmm. you're using data, and it's kind of a lot of overwhelming information. How do you help business owners and business leaders accountable for marketing budgets to think through the complexity of the current situation?
Sure. Well, most clients, business owners, it's all about sales, right? You know, butts in seats, tickets sold, meals sold, whatever. And what we try to do is really educate our clients and folks that we work with that there's different forms of ROI, and really trying to determine how do we look at those different forms of ROI, what's important, and what the different ROI steps are to get us to the ultimate goal. There's a really big canyon between, you know, entering in and getting in front of a potential customer and awareness to a sale, right? And so we as marketers and we as CMOs and VPs of marketing and directors of marketing, we have to understand what all those different steps are and where things are going rogue and how we can fix them. And so it's looking at, you know, just baseline stuff like Google Analytics. I'm shocked at how many clients I speak to on a daily basis, potential clients, they don't know if their Google Analytics is even set up, what it means, what the report is, what they're looking for, what they need to change, what they need to fix. And that's a huge baseline wealth of knowledge for anybody, any business who's got a website and is thinking about spending even a dollar on marketing.
Yeah, I've often said that most companies today would be better served if they took their marketing dollars out in the parking lot and set them on fire. Because yeah. at least six guys from the fire department would show up and right. now know about their business.
So
and that's
true.
A lot more awareness than they're getting from a lot of what they're doing. Why is that?
Well, I think a lot of times what I like to say is it's spaghetti marketing, right? So they're just throwing a bunch of stuff against the wall and hoping that something's going to work. And that all kind of goes back to they don't have any type of plan in place. They don't know who their demographic is. They don't have a baseline understanding of what their current metrics look like. And so they're just like, shoot, I need marketing. What do I do? Let's do some Facebook ads. You know, I need a press release. Let's send an email. And, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago, that may have worked. Or if you're in a really, really unique industry where you don't have a lot of competition, maybe that'll work. But the reality is that if you really want to make the most of your marketing dollars and be in it to win it from a long-term strategic ROI perspective, you've got to have that plan in place. You have to really look at the holistic picture and say, okay, who am I trying to target? What does my budget look like? What are my goals? You know, what are my goals? Just start easy for second quarter, third quarter. And then and branch off from there. You don't have to bite off the whole cheeseburger at one time, you know? But yeah, there's just so many facets to it. And what we're seeing is that a lot of times it's just too hard. So either clients are like, forget it, I don't want to do anything, or they're just doing that spaghetti marketing that we referred to earlier.
You know, a lot of people seem to think of the internet as a magic money machine.
Right.
That if I simply spend some money on Facebook ads mm-hmm. or, you know, get my social strategy in place that somehow it's just going to start printing dollars. And the reality is that systematic, thoughtful, creative execution still matters.
Absolutely.
That it's not a function of running the ad. It, was the ad good? Was it targeted properly?
Right.
What did you think through having that creative work for you? You know, it's an interesting mix now. And Rainmaker Integrated has in its name the idea of integrating marketing and PR and all the different avenues and strategies. How do you explain to a chief marketing officer, VP of marketing, small business owner that they need to think differently? What's the conversation you're often having with them? Take us inside that initial consultation where you're sitting down with Sally, CEO of her business, and explaining that, yeah, what you've been doing isn't getting results, but we can help. Mm-hmm. Walk us through some of the thinking in that conversation.
So what we really try to get to the bottom of is determining what are they trying to accomplish with marketing? Is it awareness? Is it lead generation? Is it sales? Is it all of the above? And then, you know, we kind of go back to the drawing board and say, okay, you know, do we have a budget that we're kind of tied to? So we've got $200,000. We need to make the best of it. And this is what they're trying to accomplish. Or sometimes they'll say, we're trying to accomplish all these things. We have no idea what the budget should be. In that case, we make some strategic recommendations as to what's going on in the marketplace. We look at their competitive set. You know, if your competitors are outspending you 10 to 1, you know, from the various tools that we have, we can see online and kind of get an idea, especially from a pay-per-click or an SEO perspective, what they're doing, Facebook ads, things of that nature. You know, if you only have $5,000, then you have to be realistic about that. So it's a lot of education and kind of explain them to them what's going on in the marketplace and how to be super smart and to be strategic. And then really looking at the different layers, right? So you just talked about Facebook as an example. So you have a Facebook ad and you've got somebody and they're clicking on it, but now what? Where do they go, right? And a lot of businesses are like, well, we'll just send them to our website. And what we see is they get to the website and there's no clear call to action. And we always try to, you know, let our clients know that your end user, the consumer, the person that you're trying to get to either buy your services or your product, you have to lead the way for them, right? You have to kind of usher them through. So a lot of times we'll recommend, you know, specific landing pages that are tied to an ad campaign with a strong call to action, if nothing else, just so they can measure what's going on. So at the end of the day, it's just a lot of education and showing them facts based in numbers and then allowing them to look at that and say, okay, this is what's best for our company and we're going to move forward.
Now, you've been operating in the marketing industry for a long time and a lot of different environments, different companies, different, you know, periods in the evolution of what's currently going on today. You started Rainmaker Integrated in 2008. What had happened before that? Talk us through your journey from a young woman to seasoned marketing professional.
Yeah. Well, I started my career many, many moons ago for a small company called General Motors. I'm originally from the Detroit area and had worked in internal communications there. And kind of got sick of doing newsletters back in the late 90s. That's pretty much what internal communication was, is a lot of newsletters and, you know, memos and things of that nature. And so kind of branched out from there and got more into some marketing roles. And then after 2011, or I'm sorry, after 9/11, 2001, I was ready for a change of pace. So I moved out to Las Vegas, which was a completely different ball of wax than living in the Midwest. And Vegas at that time was pretty much dead. I mean, nobody was traveling. I was waiting tables for about 6 months and applying to every marketing and PR job I could find on the planet. And there's a big mall in Las Vegas, a fashion show mall right there on the strip. And so I'd gone in, they were looking for a marketing coordinator and their VP of marketing, you know, sat with me and interviewed me. And she said, "You're just way too overqualified." And I said, "Scrutinize me. I don't care. I don't want to wait tables anymore." So she's like, "You know, you're not a good fit for us, but we'll see if we can find somebody that is." And a few days later, the VP of marketing for Macy's department stores called me and said, "We have your resume. We're interested." And so they hired me. And so I was the PR manager there for a couple years and got to do some amazing events and product launches and things of that nature. And I had come here quite a bit with Macy's because my boss was based here. So I was familiar with the Phoenix area. And about 4 years after I'd been to Vegas, I was kind of sick of the sin and Sin City. So I moved here and worked for a number of larger agencies. Worked for Best Western for a little bit in a marketing role. And what I had seen time and time again is, especially on the agency side, and even internally, marketing is usually the first thing to get cut, right? A lot of people just don't understand the value of it, which is, you know, one of my champion goals in life, if nothing else, if we can help fix that problem amongst businesses. But I just was kind of sick of that piece of it. And I knew I could do a really good job for clients. So I launched Rainmaker in March of 2008, which is kind of crazy if you remember what happened in March of 2008.
I was there.
Yeah.
Yes. Front row seats at the train wreck.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, this is fascinating because what happens next is truly the test of a business operator's ability to navigate through difficult times. So if marketing is already seen as the first thing to get cut, mm-hmm. and you come out and launch your agency at a time when people are looking for things to cut,
right?
Talk us through the next 12 to 18 months.
Yeah.
What happened? How did you make it work? The good, the bad, and the ugly. That was a very interesting and difficult time.
It was. And I actually was pretty fortunate in the sense that I worked for a number of larger agencies. And what had happened was I went out on my own and had maintained some of those relationships with some of those businesses, most notably Streets New York, which is a very popular restaurant chain here in the Valley. And they had known that I had gone out on my own. And we are often a more affordable alternative than the larger agencies. So actually, it was it was great for us because what we were seeing is people were saying, I still need some marketing, but I can't afford a $15,000 a month retainer. So maybe this is another viable source for us. So we took off and knock wood, we've been in business ever since and very, very grateful for that. But at the same time, you're right. I mean, you know, marketing is not the first thing that people think about. You know, they're thinking about getting their doors open. They're thinking about staffing. They're thinking about operations and making sure they have the equipment that they need. And I often tell folks, especially in the startup stage, marketing needs to be part of your business plan. It's essential because, yes, you may get an initial push. You may be, you know, lucky for a little bit, but eventually you're going to have to turn on that marketing switch. And when you do, you have to be dialed in if you don't want to waste your money.
In the world of direct response marketing, very conversion focused, very sales driven campaigns, which has a long history. There's a lot of turning up of noses at let's call it brand-based marketing, right. Awareness-based campaigns. People say, I don't care if people know who I am. I just want to sell stuff. And the internet, in an interesting way, has exacerbated, I think, some of the unnecessarily rigid division between the world of branding and the world of transacting. It seems as if the loudest voices are the sales first folks who, oh, by the way, also happen to have a brand, whether they're aware of it or not. It's a reputation, it's a following, it's something. When it comes to a business, obviously both matter. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to be well thought of as a company, also at the level of a personal reputation. The executive or the business owner may want some level of awareness and notoriety around themselves as a human being without being narcissistic. Sure. They know that if people know and engage, whether it's at the Chamber of Commerce or whether it's on YouTube, being known as a leader in your field still matters. How do you see this division of roles and budgets and so on between the world of branding and the world of more conversion DR type marketing?
Well, I will say this, there is no magic bullet when it comes to marketing. And a lot of business owners kind of get seduced by, you know, whether it be a freelancer or other agency or some of these online tools that promise you leads, you know, right away. And I also tell folks that people want to do business with people they know and trust. That's the bottom line. And so think about your experience as a consumer, right? I mean, who do you want to work with? You know, who do you... Is it all about price? And maybe for some people it is, you know, and that's going to be a small faction. But if you really want to have continued success with your business, you have to be looking at both of those areas, right? So you obviously you've got to get leads in the door, butts and seats, heads and beds, whatever your business is. But you've got to have great customer service. You have to have a great experience. I mean, that's, you know, the experience marketing, we're seeing so much of that now. Word of mouth is one of the greatest marketing tools on the planet, right? But if you have bad customer service, what happens? They go to Yelp, they go to Google reviews, they go to Facebook reviews. And so now everybody and your mother knows that, you know, you've got really bad customer service and that really matters. So again, it just goes back to that holistic approach. You really have to look at the 360 view. You just can't be in a silo because a silo, it may work for a little while, but eventually it's going to burn out.
It's certainly an interesting return of some fundamental human values around communication, around reputation, around talking to others with a digital layer added to it. You know, it's not that we've changed. It's that a period of time when mass media and mass communication and mass production dominated. And now people are just as eager to buy from a small consumer and from a local something, even if local is Etsy or Instagram, like the different marketplaces now where we curate our lives with things we buy from people we know, and what it means to know somebody has also changed a little bit as, you know, a certain curated view of one's life is being displayed on Instagram or LinkedIn or any of the places where people are PRing themselves.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, businesses want to see business results. And you know, the vanity metrics are cute. And oftentimes we have to talk people out of those things. Like that's not, you know, that's not the thing that's going to sell your service, sell your product. So a lot has changed. Let's talk about some of the specific channels that you are consistently going to. What's working really well now, in a very general way, because obviously it, the execution matters, the individual product or service you're actually trying to promote matters. But what are some of the kind of go-to areas that business owners and business marketing leaders need to be thinking about more necessarily than they have been?
Sure. Well, again, I think it really just depends on the industry and the product and what it is they're trying to do. You know, first steps, again, making sure you've got that plan in place where you've got some data backing who it is you're trying to target and where they are, you know, and what's important to them. And messaging, we see this all the time with clients. You know, maybe the CEO thinks that a specific message is really important, but when you go out to your target demographic, what the CEO thinks is not really relevant to who it is that you're trying to target. So, you know, we tell clients, get out of your head, get out of your own way, because you're not the demographic, right? We have to think about who the demo is and what's important to them. And we do something with a lot of our clients called persona development, where we have a variety of tools. But in our marketing plan, we like to say, okay, you've got two or three personas. You've got, you know, Susie Scottsdale, who, you know, how she looks is very important to her, and, you know, where she lives and where she hangs out and where she's seen. You know, this is just hypothetical. Or you've got...
It's not at all, actually. I think I know
right,
that.
I mean...
I know that human being. Yes.
We actually just did this for a client, and that's one of their target personas, right? And so we know that she's getting her information from certain influencers. She's reading certain magazines. She's watching certain programs. She's on, you know, Facebook versus Instagram or vice versa. We understand her shopping habits. You know, she's got kids at home, so she doesn't have a lot of time to go and peruse a store, right? So all of those things, because we have that information ahead of time and it's in the plan and we're being smart and strategic, we're able to say, okay, this is the recipe for targeting this person. And we can go in and we can use Facebook ads, or we can hire an influencer to come in and write some contributed content that's going to live on their blog. And we're promoting that through social, and we're doing, you know, emails out to the database with some specials, or maybe we're doing an event where we're getting people to come into the store and see a new product launch or things of that nature. So there's just so many things that you can do. And I think that's a lot of times why, you know, a lot of businesses and you know, even VPs, CMOs, directors of marketing, they get so confused because there's so much to choose from. But I think if you just kind of go back to those basics and figure out, okay, what are the goals? Who am I trying to target? What makes sense to my target? Then the plan starts fleshing out and you can be smart as to which channel that you want to use.
You know, that advice to not impose your own taste, your own ego, your own opinion is also applicable to the marketing professionals, because the reality is you may have, and you do have, a good sense from the track record of mm-hmm. what might work, but every campaign is different.
Right.
Every activation, every product launch, everything, there's a learning phase that's built into it. How difficult is it, in your experience, to convince the budget holder that they need to spend money failing in order to learn about what works?
Yeah, that is a big challenge. I mean, everybody wants that magic bullet. They want to see results right away. And as I mentioned earlier, there's different forms of ROI. But sometimes you do have to beta test. You know, I mean, we tell our clients all the time, there's no master recipe book, right? Historically, we know what works with a demographic, but we still, you should always be beta testing. I mean, when we do an email marketing campaign, we beta test, A/B test subject lines or content or graphics. We look at different messaging. We see different dates and times. You know, when is somebody more than likely going to be opening and digesting your content, times a day, different dates of the week, what have you. You know, so we have those best practices in place. And then we're always reporting and looking at metrics and making sure that that's aligning with the goals and objectives that the client has. But it is a challenge because you have to be willing to have a little bit of, you know, slush money that is just going to go to beta testing and understanding that, you know, there's not going to be an immediate fix. I mean, the last 2 years, we actually just started focusing on marketing our agency. And I know this sounds kind of crazy. It's, you know, the shoe cobbler's kids syndrome, right? We have a lot of referrals that come from folks, but we really didn't see any true ROI. And we're a marketing and PR firm. We know all the best practices, right? We didn't see any true ROI for at least 6 months.
Let's talk about this, because I actually think this and the lessons learned through that exact process would be very relevant to other business owners. And I appreciate your willingness to go there, if you will, because so often you find the marketing professionals who want to pretend as if they don't have a marketing challenge.
Right.
But of course, every business needs to nurture relationships, build goodwill, educate its market, you know, develop prospects and sell your services.
Right.
So here you are, you've had a good run of referral business of previous clients you've worked with, you know, as you list here, everyone from Blue Cross, Blue Shield of Arizona to Westcore, Streets of New York, Islands Fine Burgers, Wolfgang Puck, the Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport. I mean, you have some significant clients here, and you realize at some point we need to start eating our own cooking.
Right.
Did you think at the beginning, like, well, this is going to be a no-brainer, or did you walk yourselves through the same process you would take a client? How did you then apply, you know, look in the mirror and apply the things you've been executing for other? Because this is not easy.
It's not.
Very easy to see holes in somebody else's boat.
So true. So true. It's been a lesson in futility, to say the least, trying to market a marketing firm, because it's a different beast completely. And we have learned a lot along the way, and it's been a lot of beta testing. And I would say one of the key things that I really took away from this, actually two, is one, you know, me being the owner of the business, I need to have more of a presence. I'm a strong extrovert, but I don't like networking. You know, I mean, it's just kind of a pain in the butt. I've got a little guy. I value my time at home. So to go out and meet with people and, you know, that's how I met you. It's a lot of work, right? And I know a lot of people don't want to do that. A lot of business owners don't want to do that, but it works because people, again, want to do business with people they know and they trust. And if they can put a name with a face, you know, that's huge. And for the businesses that we're targeting, it's really, really important. So I learned that that's going to be a key component of what we're doing. And I think that should resonate with a lot of other business owners as well. And two, it's consistency and staying on top of it. You know, a lot of times I get busy because not only do I own the agency, but I also project manage a lot of our clients. So I'm working in the business and not on the business, which I'm trying to get better at. And I think a lot of times business owners do that too. They get so caught up in working in the business and then there is a slow time and then they're like, oh, I should probably do some marketing right now. So we actually have members on our team that's all they do now is Rainmaker integrated marketing. And they're solely focused on doing search engine optimization and pay-per-click and Facebook ads and creating content. And then we do a lot of award submissions and networking and things of that nature. But yeah, it's been quite a lesson. And I think it's been valuable because I'm able to relay that experience to a lot of our clients and understand the pain that they feel sometimes when they're spending money and they're not seeing immediate results.
So I want to circle back in the timeline in just a minute and ask a specific follow-up question. But before I do that, talk about some of the capacities that you have on the team. This will help guide the thing I want to ask you about. So at Rainmaker Integrated, you've got a lot of different skill sets. You've got the math and you've got the art and you've got the operations and all that. So what do people get? Talk through some of the specific disciplines and specific forms of expertise that you have on your team.
Sure. So we're fully integrated, which means that we have, you know, digital marketing capabilities. So search engine optimization, pay-per-click, social media, website. We have a designer. We have somebody who could do backends of websites and, you know, coding and what have you. Obviously we have PR folks. So fully integrated PR campaigns, event management. And then we also have a great graphic designer who's able to, you know, create if you need a brochure or a new brand, a logo, things of that nature. So pretty much anything that you would need to promote your business from a holistic perspective, we have all those services.
And the ideal client profile for you, and you said there's a specific type of folks we want to reach and connect with, build relationships with. Who are you looking to as the general pool of your prospects?
Yeah. So, and this is a great question that you asked because for a long time, we were not clear on this. You know, it was like, well, if we can help them, we'll take them on. So my passion is B2B, restaurant, retail, hospitality, Not to say that we solely work with those folks, because we work with a lot of other clients, but folks who really kind of want that integrated strategic approach to their marketing campaign, and they want somebody who can say, okay, client X, we understand your pain points. We understand who you're trying to target. This is your budget. Here are your goals. This is what is probably going to resonate the best within these parameters, and then allow us to help them execute that and be open to change, to be open to be nimble, and to look at the numbers, you know, because at the end of the day, we don't ever want a client to come to us and say, where is the ROI, right? And what's really interesting is a lot of times we see with our clients looking at the numbers, you know, the marketing metrics are great. And I always tell them, if your marketing metrics are really great, then you need to turn inward and look at operations, right? Because something is not resonating. And I think a lot of marketing folks, they stop at the operations point. They're like, well, we don't know what to do. You know, we've got great Facebook ad conversions, and you've been in every magazine and on every radio show and TV show. So we like to assist them with that too on the business side, because we've seen it enough that we can say, your price points are off. This is the constant feedback. You're too expensive, or people don't like your product, or your customer service is bad. You know, looking at all those facets to figure out how does everything come together to drive the ROI that they need.
A minute ago, you said B2B, and then you also said restaurants and hospitality. I just want to clarify, were you saying B2B companies in the restaurant hospitality space, or was it B2B companies, comma, restaurants?
No. So we work with both B2B and B2C. I would say my passion is probably more B2C.
And specifically the restaurant and hospitality and those kinds of things?
Yeah, we love working with those folks. And, you know, there's a lot of them here. And the competition is pretty fierce. So I know that, that those industries need somebody who can kind of come in and say, okay, this is what you really need to be doing to drive that ROI. But, you know, if there's a law firm, for instance, that has a unique angle, or, you know, we have a client that is it's actually a B2B lead generation company, you know, $25 million a year company that has a very unique business model. That I know that from a PR perspective, they're going to be gangbusters. So there's a lot of different components to it. I mean, if someone were to say, okay, would you rather have this weird little widget company, or would you rather work for Fox Restaurant Groups? I'm probably going to go with Fox Restaurant Groups.
Now circling back to that moment. So you realize that Rainmaker Integrated needs to eat its own cooking, and we're going to start doing marketing for our marketing company. Take us into the scene. What happened? Did you get everyone together and have an all hands meeting? Did you brainstorm? How did you actually execute for yourself?
Yeah.
And still keep the client work going?
Right. Well, we had to assign some internal resources to follow best practices. So I got with my team and I said, we need to develop some personas and figure out what do the people who are hiring us, what are their pain points? What do they care about? We did some research. We have a database of about 6,000 people. We sent out a survey to gather some really good insights. Did a lot of, you know, spending time on the phone with past clients and figuring out what is important to you. You know, what are you looking for when you're hiring a marketing or PR firm? And then we kind of came back to the drawing board and said, okay, we know based on history and looking at our notes that this is the average time a client is in the pipeline before they convert. So really looking at that piece of it. Figuring out how much time we need to dedicate in order to get that conversion, figuring out where our clients or potential clients could be, figuring out messaging around that. And so we basically drank our own Kool-Aid and put together that same type of plan that we would for an outside client, and started executing on it.
What were some of the first executions, the first campaigns? What were you trying in those initial phases after the groundwork? By the way, I think that's something most businesses should do more of, actually.
Absolutely.
Asking their clients or their customers why they do business with
right.
us, and really don't just take the initial superficial answer, really dig in. They'll probably be surprised, especially B2B. I know this from having executed this for some
right.
clients in the past. You'd be amazed at why they tell you they started working with you. It's probably not what you think. But in any case, so you've done the groundwork, you've done the personas, you've designed some ideas, and you start executing. What do you do first?
Well, at that time, this is about two and a half years ago. So content marketing was like the new greatest and hot thing. So we were writing a lot of content to really increase our SEO value on our website. And then we were also doing a lot of promoted content, testing different landing pages and lead generation forms on our website, trying to figure out what resonated with people. And we still do quite a bit of that. But ultimately, our goal was to get new leads, right? So that was the first thing we started. And then I also started to do a lot of public speaking. I had been asked by the local chapter of the American Marketing Association to give a presentation and had some really great feedback from that. And so we now have a partnership with the Phoenix Business Journal where I speak quarterly on a myriad of different marketing topics. And so that's really evolved into, you know, a great networking, awareness, lead generation piece for us because we're able to get in front of a lot of business owners, VPs of marketing, directors of marketing that really need that extended knowledge and approach. And they can meet me firsthand and kind of see that I think we know what we're talking about and decide if they want to do business with us. So those have been some of the more fruitful efforts that we've had.
You know, there's an interesting timing problem. It seems like the time to start trying to find a marketing agency is long before you need them. But yes. Almost nobody does that.
Very true.
And at the same time, you know, for yourselves and your own marketing campaigns, marketing yourself, it's a little bit like you have to turn the fire hose on 6 months before the fire starts because it's going to take the water that long to kind of build pressure and steam and get to the point. So on both sides of this equation, in your business and in the folks that you serve, you've got to get that timing aligned. At any given moment in time, there's only, you know, 2-5% of the clients that are actually a perfect fit for you who are actively hiring you.
Sure.
So the relationships and the long game, this is where branding comes back to being important. Branding yourself as a leader and a thought leader and business operator, branding your agency through your work. How do you navigate that timing problem? Your timelines, their timelines, and getting it all to meet in a positive way.
Right. That's a great question. Because when we first started doing our content marketing for Rainmaker, you know, our thought was, okay, everybody in September, October, they're going to be starting the plan for the following fiscal year. And best practices would dictate that, right? Like in October, you should be really thinking about where your marketing plan is for the coming year.
In theory,
know, because there's a lot of moving parts depending on how big your business is. But, you know, you need to be looking at metrics and what's happening and ROI and all the different things that kind of come into that planning process. And what we found is that nobody was thinking about that. And we're like, what are you doing? Why are you not thinking about that? Like, you know, the new year is coming. You should be planning now. Because let's just say you decide, okay, this is going to be my plan. You know, if you finish it in fourth quarter, then you'll be ready to execute January 1. And our phone starts ringing off the hook about January 5th. Because everybody's like, oh, crap, I need some marketing. So very, very relevant point. And I think the ultimate answer is consistency. You know, there's no end game. I mean, we're constantly trying to get out there as much as we can, be it through speaking or through networking or through content or ads. Or I mean, there's a myriad of different things that we do, but I know that it's got to be the long game, right? You just don't go out, you're a flash in the pan. I mean, unless you want to go out of business, you know, in a couple months, which I don't want to do. So we're just very consistent with it. And we just try to stay in front of as many people as we can and build those relationships. I mean, I had somebody call me yesterday that said, I saw you speak in 2016 and I need a marketing agency to help me with, you know, a new business. We also have the people who call us and say, I'm launching a new store in 3 weeks and we will need to do a grand opening, you know, and they're really behind the eight ball. So it's always that fine balance and just continuing to educate people and for us, just being in it to win it.
Can you share an example of a campaign that surprised you? It's easy to talk about this stuff as if, you know, you do the right planning and you do the right execution and it just all lines up and you just have to do the work and it's math and it's art and eventually it's ROI, right? But there's also times, maybe more often than not, when something completely unexpected happens. Do you have an example of something like that?
I do. Actually, one of my favorite stories since we've been in business is we were working with Streets of New York at the time, and it was election year. So it was when Obama and McCain were running against one another. And I had this brilliant idea in the shower, of course, to come up with this presidential pizza campaign. So we had two pizzas. We had the Obama pizza, which was indicative of, you know, Hawaii, that's where he's from. And then we had the McCain pizza. And we actually knew what McCain liked on his pizza because he had gone into the store and obviously he's from Arizona. So we came up with this.
Yeah, fun, the home court advantage.
Exactly.
On that one. Yeah.
Exactly. So we came up with this fun little, you know, pizza campaign, and then we had all the servers had little buttons, and then we had little table tents, and there was an online component where you could go in and you could vote. And I had put together a press release and we had sent it out, and a couple stations locally had covered it. And this is before the advent of social media had really started to take off. And so I had no idea that this was just gangbusters. It had spread. So I'm sitting on the couch literally one day, home from work, and I'm watching CNN, and Wolf Blitzer comes on and says, Arizona Pizza Company is offering presidential pizzas. And I almost fell off the couch. I couldn't believe it. And that campaign, I mean, we were on NBC Nightly News with Brian Williams. You know, we had looked at it back in the day. We used to look at ROI from a PR perspective of ad value rates. And there was like $13 million in ROI from maybe a $3,000 spend. That really surprised me that it had gone that viral and that gangbusters. And that doesn't always happen. But that's one of my favorite stories and proudest moments, having owned this business and doing some great things for local businesses.
And I mean, that was early in the history of the company too. So that must have helped. Yeah. Did you get other folks saying, do that for us?
We did. And, you know, looking back on it, I probably should have promoted our success more than I did. It was kind of one of those things where it's like, well, yeah, it was a great success. Moving on now, you know, we've got other things to do. And I will say that a lot of businesses, they don't promote their successes as much as they should. If you're doing a great job at something, tell the world about it, you know, especially now with social media. There's so many ways for you to be your own media. And I think a lot of times businesses forget to do that. So it was a good experience, and we got some good recognition for it. But looking back in hindsight, I would have promoted that success a lot more.
Some of the best lessons in life leave scars because they were learned the hard way. Do you have an example of a campaign that didn't go the way you wanted to, or a situation that was tough and didn't have the outcome you wanted, but the lesson you learned from that was so valuable that it was worth it?
You know, I can't say from a client perspective and failure. I mean, we've been really fortunate. We've been able to work with some really good clients and businesses here locally. And the PR and marketing community here have found to be very, very supportive and just great people. I would say my biggest lesson has come from being a boss and hiring people and trusting your gut on hiring the right and the wrong people. Looking back, you don't realize how much time you spend on who it is that you choose to work with. And we're a little different in the sense that our team members are, they all kind of have their own side gigs or they're doing their own thing, and a lot of them have their own little smaller agencies. So it's more of like a consultancy type scenario. But there's been times where I've like, I know that's not a good fit, but I really need some help on this project. And it's always kind of come back to burn me. So I would say that that's probably been the biggest lesson, is just staffing and learning who's a good fit, who's not a good fit, trusting your gut, and don't work with friends.
Uh-huh. Because it's hard to think clearly.
Well, I think it's hard to think clearly. And, you know, I mean, if you're working with a friend and things go sideways, not only is the business now in jeopardy, but so is the friendship, right? And early on, I had actually started Rainmaker in Las Vegas and had a business partner who was a friend. And, you know, we'd got this great idea that we were going to start this agency, and we had like four or five clients in the pipeline, and, you know, I just signed two new contracts. And she decided she wanted to go sell real estate and just up and was like, see ya, I'm out. You know, I'm like, holy cow, I've got this business and these clients in the pipeline. What am I going to do? So that was a good lesson early on, because I kind of had some hesitations, but, you know, she's willing and able to do it, and she had the background, and I thought, you know, we're fearless, let's go for it. So lessons learned, I'm older and wiser now. And so I would say that that's probably the biggest lessons I've learned.
Looking forward to the near and then the not so near future, what's on the horizon that you're excited about? What is coming at us that has you lit up and fired up and ready to go?
From like a marketing perspective or for just our business?
Either one.
Well, for our business, we actually have just created some really unique packages. What we've seen a lot of times is that clients kind of want to dip their toe in the proverbial pond, if you will, and not fully commit to, you know, a 12-month retainer or something like that. And we get that. We understand it's a pain point for a lot of small business owners. So we created some unique packages on both the PR and the digital marketing side, where they can kind of come in, allow us to, you know, maybe at a slightly lower level, do some work for them and beta test some things and drive some ROI and then see if they want to commit beyond that. So internally, that's something we're really excited about. And I would say in the marketing front, you know, just seeing the evolution and the things change. And there's so many great tools now that allow you to really calculate ROI. I mean, I know I've talked about that a lot, but I'm just a really big believer in looking at the numbers and figuring out what's working and what's not. And being able to teach people how to do that and be smart about their marketing dollars is really what gets me out of bed in the morning.
Now, you're a member of the American Marketing Association, and mm-hmm. you served as the first female president of the Arizona Interactive Marketing Association. What do young marketing professionals need to understand that a seasoned operator, a seasoned executive that is current with technology could share? What are you seeing are some of the gaps in either training or mindset?
Sure.
As you look towards those coming along, and in many cases, the people who might end up working for you or for another agency.
Right. Well, I would say one of the things I'm really seeing lacking, especially on the PR side, is being able to write. You have to have a really good understanding of AP style and how to write, and not just a press release, because, you know, press release is, it's just kind of chumming the waters, if you will, but really being able to put together some cohesive messaging that really makes sense. Understanding that not everybody is going to be an Instagram influencer. I know that this is like a big thing now. Everyone's like coming out of college and they're thinking they're going to make 700 grand a year being an influencer. And that's not always the case. You know, most often than not, it's not. And just really being able to be nimble, you know, and learn, wanting to learn. I mean, I would say that that's why I've been successful in my career is because I've always tried to be a sponge. And sure, there have been times of ego, you know, where I shouldn't have had that. But just being able to read as much as you can about what's going on in the industry, pay close attention to your competitors, see what they're doing, seeing what the competitors of your clients are doing, just being able to be a sponge and figure out, you know, what makes the most sense for where you are in your career. But I think a lot of times, you know, kids that are just coming into the industry now, I think they're so inundated with information. They're so used to having so much information all the time. And that's good in some respects, but you have to be able to filter through that and figure out what is the smart information and how do you apply that to your career so that you can be a step ahead.
The opportunity has never been greater for people to take their training and development into their own hands and develop practitionership in so many of these disciplines, because the technology that we use to run campaigns for the biggest brands in the world is the same technology that's available in everybody's smartphone to a certain degree. I mean, there's other tools and platforms and sources of data and things. But in another lifetime, when I taught university students at Berkeley, I used to tell them, just get into something right. that has you doing things, managing people, managing money, managing projects. I don't care if it's a fundraiser at the sorority or, you know, it's a local car wash or whatever. Do something where you start to learn about these key things. And somebody who wanted to be a journalist, the advice used to be just start something, right. start a blog and start reaching out to people. Give yourself permission to act like this is a real thing, and it could be a real thing. In any case, you're learning the skills. Nowadays, it seems, you know, somebody who wants to get into marketing or digital executions, the best use of $100 could be to run Facebook ads for something. It almost doesn't even matter what, just to get in there and start to learn how the platforms work, how new campaign optimization of budgets is just rolling out, and this is going to be a thing. And don't just read about it. Have done something with it. Do you see a gap between the information, which is freely available? A lot of people know, but not that many people actually do. Or is that something that's just I'm starting to develop this crotchety old man point of view? I don't know. What's your sense?
Well, I mean, I think anybody who's coming in at an entry level, unless they've really been doing a ton of due diligence and homework and reading up on things, you have to have the experience, right? So it's not, I very rarely see somebody who can come in on the digital side or the PR side or any aspect of marketing and just slay it. Occasionally they can. But you have to have a really good understanding of how all those different things work together. If you're going to really own marketing, you have to understand how SEO plays with PR and how PPC plays with content and the latest trends and what would work for a client or the company that you work for and what wouldn't work. And, you know, I'm slightly biased because my background is that holistic integrated approach, but I'm a firm believer and I've seen it so many times that that's the approach that works the best. So if somebody's coming into marketing and they want to own it, they really need to see that completely 360 view of the space and know enough about all those different silos to be dangerous. Because if you're going to run a marketing campaign for a business or you're going to work at an agency, you just have to know those things, you know? And I think a lot of times people get swept up. We've seen this a lot on the PR side is you've got some agencies who just know PR. And 20 years ago, awesome, that's great. But now, you know, we just were hired on by a client and I was in the strategy meeting yesterday and I was talking to their internal director of marketing and talking about click-through rates and abandonment rates on the website and all that kind of stuff. And the director of marketing looked at me and she's like, we just had a PR agency for 15 years that didn't know any of this. And I kind of thought to myself, well, that's probably why they don't work with you anymore, you know? And so that's just the reality is that you've got to know about all the different marketing tactics and strategies, even if you're on the PR side, even if you're on the digital side, to be smart to make the recommendations if you really want to get ahead.
We live in the fastest growing metropolitan area in the country. The rate of business growth and innovation here may be a little early, but we're seeing predictions of hockey stick expansion and growth. You know, every day in the Phoenix Business Journal and other industry publications, you know, we're seeing bigger and bigger companies looking to the Valley, and not just Phoenix, but especially West Valley and other fast growing areas here. Just last week on another show on the station, I interviewed the chief technology officer for a billion-dollar electronics company that moved here, one of the largest, you know, outside companies to move to the state the past couple of years. So there's a sense in which there's a lot happening. It's right. Exciting times. Mm-hmm. It's a new gold rush of sorts. From the perspective of marketing, what do you think are some of the biggest challenges that Valley businesses and large companies establishing a presence here face now? And how do you think that will change as competition increases, as the level of talent goes up, as outside people continue to move in?
Right.
What are the challenges and how should people navigate through this?
I love the growth because I grew up in a suburb of Detroit and you know Detroit's on the upswing now. It'll always be my hometown. But if you want to talk about a level of stagnancy that you've never seen before, you know, that was the reality there for a long time. And
still is in many neighborhoods, even though the general trend is turning.
Yeah, it's churning. And last time I was home, it was amazing to see the progress. But, you know, I think it's one of the things I see a lot, businesses come here and they don't have a really good understanding of the Valley. And it's like the biggest small town I've ever seen. You know, I mean, it's interesting, especially from a marketing and PR and business perspective. Everybody knows everybody pretty much. So it's really getting a good understanding of how business is done here, what resonates, what doesn't, finding the key players that you can trust and do business with. And again, just that learning piece, right? So if you're thinking about bringing a business here, talk to some other business owners and figure out what are they doing? What's relevant? You know, you mentioned the Phoenix Business Journal. That's a great resource to really find people who are industry leaders doing great things in the community, know what they're doing. So it's a due diligence piece. You know, if I had to do it all over again and I was moving here specifically to open a business, that's one of the first things that I would do is just talk to a variety of different business owners, do my due diligence and really try to figure out, okay, where do I need to be? What do I need to be doing? Who are going to be the key players that I can rely on? Not just from a marketing perspective, but from a community relations perspective, from referrals, you know, from operations. There's just a myriad of different things that you have to consider.
Where do people learn more about Rainmaker Integrated? Where do they follow your activities, attend your workshops? Give us the 411 on how people can get in touch with you.
Yeah, so our website is a great resource, rmimpr.com. You can also find us on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter. And then we do quite a bit of public speaking with the Phoenix Business Journal. You'll see our ads in there quarterly. And our events are also listed on our website as well.
Thank you, Jackie, very much. Jackie Wright, President of Rainmaker Integrated Marketing and PR. This is a fabulous conversation, exciting times, and I appreciate you coming in today.
Well, thanks for having me. Greatly appreciate it.
For all of us here at Business Radio X, this is Dr. Adrian McIntyre, and we'll see you next time on Valley Business Radio.